世界をつなぐ。
Wouter Constant, Bitcoin philosopher, the Netherlands.
Do you know more than 21 decimal numbers of pi?
No.
You like to play video games such as StarCraft, but will the gaming industry integrate the Lightning Network within the next 4 years?
Yes.
The Prodigy released the album Music for the Jilted Generation in July 1994. Is Bitcoin money for the jilted generation?
Yes.
La Trappe Quadruple is one of your favorite beers. They brewed over 40 limited batches from this beer. Did you ever have the chance to drink a La Trappe Quadruple Oaked Age?
Nope.
Is Bitcoin still in beta?
Yes.
Would you sell Kitty for 100 million satoshis?
100 million? No.
We know you have flexible hips. Have you taken dance lessons?
Yes.
Simon Stevijn was a mathematician, physicist, and military engineer from the 16th century, born in Bruges. Is he more important to you than Archimedes?
Yes.
Do you prefer to honor the 14th of March over the 20th of April?
No.
Are you Satoshi Nakamoto?
Yes.
All right, welcome to episode 5 of Connected World. This week we have Constant as a guest to join us. How are you doing, Steph?
Yeah, I'm fine, Edward. Thanks for asking. How are you doing?
Good. Also, yeah, it was a hell of a week.
yeah, Christmas in between. And,
that's right.
But yeah, you ate a lot of stuff.
A lot of family things. Yeah, well, I didn't stop eating. No. It was... you always eat more, of course. So that's a lot of people and a lot of things and a lot of driving and a lot of music, and it was really fun.
Yeah, well, good to see you again, and I'm very looking forward to the chat with Constant.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's a new week with new things. So nice. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Right. Before we dive into that part of the podcast, let's talk a bit about the statistics of the Lightning Network and our community, of course.
Yeah.
And then afterwards the chat with Constant.
And I think last but not least, Merry Christmas, of course, to everyone.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
All right. Well, let's have fun, guys.
Connect the world.
Yeah, because this week we had a total of 18.56 bitcoins pushed into the Lightning Network, and this week it's 19.21. Yeah, it was a lot, and 19.21 is also a bit more, of course, 65 million satoshis more, and with around 610 members participating in over 71 rings. So very nice statistics.
And I see some amazing surprise there. We almost hit the 21, I think. Well, a couple of weeks more.
Yeah.
But 21 Bitcoin, that's that will be a surprising moment, I think. Yeah, nice. Well, and if we look at Lightning Network as a whole, we always do that every week to put it in perspective. I see there are 19,170 Lightning nodes worldwide, with 56 more than last week. So an increase, and 3,322 around that number is the network capacity of bitcoins in the Lightning Network, and that's over 25 bitcoin more, so that's also nice.
So also increasing every week.
Also increasing, and that's very interesting, because we wanted to increase, of course, and we see it in our own community, and to see it also in the numbers worldwide. Well, that's nice to see.
Yeah. Hey, well, and 1 million satoshis as of today is getting you $516, €456 euros, and a little under the 3,300 Chinese yuan.
Yeah.
Connect the world.
And well, we always tell something about the lightning news of last week. And I'm going to start with keep your software up to date, because there are some software updates released this week. And of course, there are bug fixes. Last week, we had a Taproot activation for a lot of products. And now, well, I see there BTC Pay Server, Rust Lightning, LMBits, a lot of wallets also, and DYI also released updates. So get it up to date. And there were three interesting things. Besides this, advanced fee bumping. Antoine Poinsot posted a Bitcoin Dev mailing with research results about a long-term problem with fee bumping. And it's important to find a solution for the safety of most contracts protocols when there are more than two participants. So not single signature, but multiple. And there's no solution yet, but it's a good sign that the devs are working on it. So that's nice to follow.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, well, in our own community, the Ring2 bot. Steph, I know you saw a lot of change there.
Yeah,
Can you tell us more about it?
Yeah, Judy had a very busy week. He worked his ass off, as always. But yeah, the bot is now, I think it's almost done, although you never know with Judy, of course, because he's such a perfectionist that, yeah, he's always developing this this bot further and further. But yeah, well, for now, the bot almost completely automates our workflow of creating rings of fire. So it saves us a lot of time. And yeah, well, for instance, collecting info from every participant, the pub keys, the flags, are you funded, yes or no? It all automatically updates the overview. So that's really nice to see and also very helpful, of course. And yeah, it's also automatically updating all the channel statuses, so no one has to tell us if they raise the fees or something. The bot is telling us, so that's awesome. And it's also connected to ROF tools, so the website, so we don't need to have put all the info there by hand. It's automatically updated. And it helps with creating the logos for the subgroup. So
also the logos. Yeah. That's amazing.
So if you have participated in rings in the the rings that we already completed, it's definitely worth joining a new ring, because when you see this bot going to work, it's really fantastic. So
I like it because it updates also the sticky message in the subgroups automatically.
Yeah, it does that automatically.
And I saw people telling the bot where their node is, so what country. And then it puts
adds the flag.
That's amazing. And I was thinking also about Gino, what he said last week about more automation. Because they started it all, and it is a lot of work, and this really,
I think Chino will definitely like this one, because it's really, really helpful. Yeah.
Well, great that we actually can do this this way, and well, let's see if the balancing also would be possible, but that's more difficult, I think.
give it another 2 to 3 weeks, and I'm sure Jury will fix it. He will implement it. That's for sure.
Awesome. Well, the last topic we have is Alex Bosworth published a repository on GitHub about changing the channel capacity with your peer up or down by resending the channel funds into a new channel. It sounds a bit like slicing or something. I don't know exactly how it works. I asked a bit around and nobody really tested it, but we're gonna test it, I think, on Cygnet. I heard that it's not for the faint at heart, so be careful experimenting with it. It's a little bit hacky, but I think it's interesting also, just like before, that they're busy about these kind of things, because it's interesting if you can really do this, then it's easier for node operators to work with your node and your channels and your capacity to actually be able to change it. So that's nice.
Yeah. So you're not having to close or open a channel, right? You can just expand it.
Yeah. And what's different between this? I don't know, because it looks like a new channel, I think, but it isn't. So I don't know exactly how it works, but it's interesting to follow, and the repository is there. So I think the first examples will be visible within some time, and then we'll see if it actually works. Yeah,
we'll have a look at it. I can edit in the coming weeks.
Maybe we should put it in the show notes also, because I really think it's a good thing. So thank you for that.
Connect the world.
Yep, and of course, we can dive a bit deeper into our community and our rings forecast, because we have now the 500k sets 20th ring. We have only one spot left, so if you want to join a 500k ring, you can sign up in our community. The 1 million satoshis 22nd ring, we have 5 spots left, and the 2 million satoshis 30th ring, we have 6 spots left. So if you want to join that one, join our Telegram group and sign up using the polls in the pinned messages.
Connect the world.
Yeah, and of course, we opened also a couple of rings. We opened the 2 million satoshis 12th ring. We have some cancellations in that one. So if you're looking for a 2 million satoshis ring, we are looking for 2 participants more. So it would be nice for you to join that one. And the 1 million satoshis 21st ring, we also opened that one, 21st, of course, a magic number. So our head of design, Ramon, he created a small badge for the logo. Also very nice to check that one out. Yeah. And we have a record, Edward, because we opened the 5 million satoshis 8th ring.
Yeah.
And we have node operators from Belgium, Nigeria, USA, Germany. What's that? It's Holland and Finland.
Yeah, I see a lot of flags here.
6 different countries. So that's a record. So
It's Christmas. So let's be united. No, it's very nice.
Well, talking about connect the world, this is what we mean
this
by connect the world. 6 countries involved. So very nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think due to the holidays, we only balanced one ring last week, the 500k 19th ring. And although not every ring member was present, we decided to run the balancing script because everything looked perfectly fine. Our ring leader from the USA, CryptoFinder 18, prepared the script himself, and it ran smoothly. Well done, mate. And
nice.
Everyone who received satoshis for the routing may donate them to our new donation bots, Connect the World donation bot. So
maybe it's also nice to know, because we have 2 bots, I think, now. And this one is for the Connect the World community
podcast.
And for the podcast. And we also have Rings of Fire one. So that's good to know. We put in a lot of guidance, of course, and Jury made the bots, so there are a lot of things to use.
Contribute to,
That's right. Do you know what the difference is between the bots, except for the community?
That they are in both groups. Every group has its own active bot, so I think the Satoshi Radio Ring of Fire donation bot is more... to be used if a ring is balanced. You can tip the ring leader, or maybe ask the master of ceremony.
Yeah.
Or as you mentioned, Jury is running his ring
server.
A ring tools bot on a server, and he has to pay, of course, for that service. So we use all the donations to pay for that kinds of things. So,
And also in the Connect the World community, where we're adding a lot of new content. So that's not only this podcast. So nice. And we had also a couple of questions coming in within the subgroups within the rings. And they were asking, and we see it, we saw it earlier also, the ring is balanced, and they say, now what?
I had a chat with Eric in, I think it was a 500k ring. And he asked me if we balanced the ring, and then he asked, and now the ring leader has to rebalance this ring periodically, or and I told him it's not possible to periodically balance a ring because all the channels will have different kind of liquidity in time, so it's not possible to run it. So if a ring is completed and it's balanced, then it's you're on your own. Not really, of course, because we are with you, but you have to balance all your channels by yourself. The ring leader can't do it anymore.
Yeah,
then,
and I also think, well, the ring gives you the advantages with inbound and outbound liquidity channels and the connections with other nodes for your node within to be visible within the Lightning graph. So those advantages you will keep also when there is a gap or something within the ring.
Because that's also a question that is frequently asked. If someone is dropping out of the ring, is the ring not in use anymore? Or and maybe you can tell a bit about that, Edward. What are the advantages of can we still benefit from the ring if one participant is stepping out?
Well, it's a good question, and I also think when you have a ring and you are balanced, then you have a natural flow of channel liquidity, so it's more organic. And most people don't have only one channel, so if you talk about normal node management, it's common that you that you have organic change in liquidity, and with one channel being less and the other being more, and you can automate it also with a script like ChargeLND, and you can also do it by hand or with a balance of satoshis. But the advantages of the ring will be still in place, so that's important to know. And you can also fill the gap, of course. So you can ask a new node operator to be
to join
the ring. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. I think it's only for the ones that are connected to the node operator that is stepping out. It's a bit silly, but for the others, it doesn't matter that much because you still benefit from all the connections every node participant has. So.
Yeah, and you can have a strategy with, I think, with big nodes or big channels. Then it's a bit sad that if one leaves, because you can act like a big node. If you all agree with a fee of with a constant fee or a fee that you all agree on, then you can make your ring attractive to particular payments, big payments or small payments, micro payments. So that's a bit sad, but I think the ring also is better to not be that big. Well, we did of course some amazing rings with
specials.
A lot of members, but it's then it's more for the amount of connections. So your visibility in a Lightning graph. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you want to learn more about the Rings of Fire, how it works, and what our mission is, you can always check episode 0, of course.
Yeah. That's
and
right.
And also, you can always ask all these questions, of course, in our main group.
Yep.
It's better to ask them in the main group instead of the subgroups, because if you ask all these questions in the main group, others can all learn from the discussions that are going out of that. So, it's also no problem, of course.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks. And if we have some questions that are very that we see very often, then we can also talk about it in the podcast, of course.
Yeah.
That was it about the news this week. So let's go to the Lightning notes.
Connecter le monde.
Make sure to secure your home network. So change default passwords and use two-factor authentication where possible. And keep your software up to date. It's also very important. Please keep in mind that the whole Lightning network is very experimental. Software like MyNode, Umbrel, Raspberry Blitz, for example, and many others, and LND also, are still in beta phase. Don't blindly run terminal commands on your node if you don't understand them yourself, and especially when prefixed with sudo. And the last one is also very important. Don't use Satoshis that you're not willing to lose. So if you're not aware of all security considerations, then read into it. Educate yourself, read articles, ask for help in Telegram groups with high reputation like ours, and listen to podcasts and learn by doing. Otherwise, don't participate.
Also, you can stay informed by following us on Twitter. You can find us at Satoshi Radio ROF. And follow our lightning leader, Johnny Kyashu. Join our Telegram groups, Satoshi Radio, Ring of Fire, and Connect the World. And check our website, satoshi.radio. It would be nice for you to be part of our Emboss community. You can find us there on Satoshi Radio. And like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Use Podcasting 2.0 to listen to Connect the World. And you can check Sata Trading for the current value. You can find all this information, of course, also in the show notes as well.
All right, let's get on to the show.
All right, welcome, Constant, to the show.
We found him.
Yeah, you are Satoshi Nakamoto. I was going to welcome you like that, but I think, well, I don't know if it's true, of course. So we're going to find out.
Yeah. Hey, Constant, thanks for joining us, of course.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're one of the members of our community, of course, and as you said, a Bitcoin philosopher. So we had a hard time finding the right questions to ask for you, but I think you will manage to find an answer for them. And I think it's good to dive into the 21 minutes, Edward.
Yeah, and I was thinking also, well, maybe Satoshi Nakamoto also is kind of a philosopher or was. I don't know.
Maybe. So more an engineer, I think.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, of course, because he built the thing.
Yeah, that's right. So. Yeah, that's right. But it's also very philosophical, the working of it. He engineered it, so that's right. We all were thinking that you would know the 21 decimals of the number of pi. But that's
I don't care about. I got a calculator. Why would I remember them?
So that's absolutely right. All right.
Okay. Hey guys. So let's dive into the 21 minutes.
Let's do it.
Tilknut. Well.
Well, we want to start with some questions about the future of Lightning Network and your vision about it. And later on, we will talk more about the layer 2 solutions for Bitcoin, if we get to that, of course. Do you think Lightning will help to increase the use case of Bitcoin?
Yes, very much so. Because I think the way we looked at Bitcoin in the first years, it was as a payment network. And this is where the whole Bitcoin Cash thing came from. The offshoot was very much focused as Bitcoin as a payment network, and Bitcoin as main chain, right? The blockchain.
Yeah.
And I think now we realize that Bitcoin isn't a payment network. You can build a payment network on top of Bitcoin, and Lightning would be an example of that, where you're building a liquidity network that can be used as a payment network. But so there I think Lightning changed a lot in the way we look at Bitcoin and how we can use it, because it was just Bitcoin was not adequate as a payment network. Maybe if you're sending like millions of dollars worth of value from across the world, from like America to China or something, then it might be useful. But as a normal payment system, we needed something else, and I think Lightning delivers that, and it also changes our perspective on what Bitcoin actually is, mm-hmm. and what kind of system it actually is.
And what will be the role of the Lightning Network within the evolution of Bitcoin?
This is speculation, but I think what Lightning does as a protocol, it makes Bitcoin that's locked up in a contract liquid. Via a network of connections, and this is useful because now if we imagine other types of contracts, let's say we have a venture, we're a bunch of guys, we got money locked up inside a Bitcoin contract, mm-hmm. among each other, then that Bitcoin is stuck there. But actually, the same Lightning protocol allows us to use that money now to pay somebody else using those funds. So let's say the three of us have a venture. We got money locked up there. We both own a third of the money that's locked up in this venture. I can now use that my third to pay groceries somewhere else simply by redistributing it among us three. So maybe I give a little bit of Steph, and Steph via the Lightning Network, the same logic, just it gets routed to the grocery store. So currently we're thinking the other way around, is that we're creating contracts for the Lightning Network. And my speculation would be is that eventually we are creating a whole bunch of contracts for different purposes, and we can then utilize the Lightning Network as a protocol to create liquidity.
Yeah.
And can Lightning also be a danger to Bitcoin? So with less traffic on the base layer, for example?
Yeah, you hear this discussion a lot, and I just don't get it. Because if you look at how... It's stupid. It's like almost like we almost forgot how limited the blockchain is, right? The complaint has always been that it's too slow and it's too expensive, and it is expensive because you don't have a lot of capacity, and we cannot onboard the entire world on it. And now we have Lightning, and all of a sudden everybody is like, well, what if there are no on-chain transactions anymore? So to harp on back on what I just explained earlier about these contracts. What a Bitcoin transaction is a creation of a or like the settlement of one contract and the creation of another, right? It's a mutation in the economic relationships that we have with each other, if we call contracts economic relationships. And that isn't static around the world. Those things change every single day. Businesses stop, new businesses start, new relations end, new relations start. So there have to be mutations going on all the time, and that's what we're using this main chain for. So no, I don't see that getting rid of using the Bitcoin main chain as payments, right?
Yeah.
Which was a very silly thing to do. If we stop doing the silly thing, it's not like we don't have a bunch of other useful things to do.
Yes, so it's so no, thinking a different way about the base layer, and that's
right.
That's necessary. Yeah,
yeah.
Hey, and what security concerns of the Lightning Network do you need? Do you think that are undervalued nowadays?
So this is hard for me to answer, because that it presumes two things: is that I know all the security concerns, and I'm in the know of how much people value them or undervalue them.
Okay, the security concerns can, you know.
Right. So the problem, the thing here is, so my position, my job is not to necessarily know that or tell that. My job is to focus attention on these things in a more general sense. And that's exactly what happened in the Telegram group, I guess a few months ago now. I raised this issue, like, okay, we're encouraging people to set up nodes. That's all good and well, but you know, people who don't have all this knowledge for setting up Lightning nodes with their Raspberry Pi, this is a disaster just waiting to happen if we're not careful.
Yeah.
And then sooner or later, it was like, I told you so, because things did go wrong. And that's not props for me. It's just my job. I see it as my job to focus attention. It's just like, guys, look at that. And then you guys did, because you took it up very well. Mm-hmm. And you've implemented it even better, because you're using all these disclaimers also in this podcast.
Yeah, and it was because of you mentioned it in the group. You also dropped the Steph Oliveira podcast, I guess. It was the Steph Oliveira podcast with the home security issues. And because of you, we thought more about the security issues than we used to, and then we implemented the Lightning nodes, as we call them. So the
disclaimer part.
Yeah. So okay.
Yeah, we think that's very important to have all those users, if they don't know much about it, to help them with guidance. And if you look back at the last 2 years of Lightning development and have to look, 2 years in the future, where do you think we are with Lightning by then?
I think the last 2 years, a lot happened in terms of infrastructure. So nodes, if you look at the number of nodes and the number of channels, it's this bare bones infrastructure of the Lightning Network, which started out with 2 years ago, Mynode, and then last year or this year, things ramped up with Umbrel. And I think for the next 2 years, now, given that this infrastructure part, right, which is required to do something with the Lightning Network, right, to actually do the payments, I think the next 2 years we'll see a similar thing, but just on actual use. So users actually using the Lightning Network. The first year will be like a slow exploration of the field. And then the second year, things will probably ramp up given what we know from the previous year.
Yeah, so we are now building like the backbone of the Lightning Network, and then we're correct, going to use it, because that's what we also see in our community. Then we always set up these rings of fire, and then we completed them, and then now what, you know? Yeah. What can we do with it, you know? And
they want to know the next step.
Well, the next step is so it's a chicken and egg problem, right? People need to be able to receive Lightning, and people need to be able to pay with Lightning.
Yeah.
And who's first? Well, you just got to have to wiggle your way through.
Yeah.
And I think the coming year is going to be a lot of wiggling. And after people figure it out and know what to do, and there are some best practices, and there's maybe some tooling that make things easier, things will probably catch on a lot faster in the year afterwards. Yeah.
And what would you like to see integrated on the Lightning Network?
Well, I guess there are some protocol things. I don't know if actually yet it's not my domain to see like what get implemented. The thing is, so many things get implemented so fast already. If you look at the LN URL stuff, and they're catching on with the Bolt implementation right now in terms of what they want to implement there on a Bolt protocol level. And then the discussion is like, do you have to do that on a protocol level, or are we going to do everything on via Lightning URL? Things are developing so fast. I barely can keep up. I'm just surprised every time. It's like what they made already. So, I'm behind on this.
You're absolutely right, because the majority of the maturity of the Lightning network, there are a lot of things to be experimenting with Lightning channels, like Alex Bosworth was publishing last 2 days, I think, with Lightning channels to actually change the Lightning capacity of the channel. Mm-hmm. So the Lightning network as a protocol is undergoing a lot of changes, and I think that's really needed to bring it to the next level. But can you think of a feature that really needs to be implemented to make it more usable in the next couple of years, when there are a lot of more merchants that are accepting it?
Yeah. So I think stuff like recurring payments.
Yeah. Yeah.
So automated recurring payments, and there might be hacky ways to do it now, but that would be, I guess, that would be very important for a lot of use cases in terms of subscription models. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. And do you think the value of on-chain sets and Lightning sets will differ once it becomes very expensive to do on-chain transactions?
That's a good question. And I think the answer is no, because the value of the Satoshi doesn't change. Just the cost of your transaction costs are just different. Mm-hmm. But they're both expressed in Satoshi still. Mm-hmm. Even on Lightning, they're expressed in Satoshis. And on chain, they're expressed in Satoshis. So
by default, they can't differ, from each other.
Right. So the value of the Satoshi is the same. It's just the cost of your transaction is more expensive. Mm. The same as if I would do a cash transaction or a debit card transaction or a credit card transaction. It's like the value of those of that fiat money is not different. It's just the transaction costs that are involved are different.
And we're trying to connect the world by using Lightning and Bitcoin to create rings of fire. So we're going to make a bridge about the rings of fire. And how would you connect the world with Lightning in your way?
I think on the one hand, I would do what I'm still doing and trying to find way to visualize or to metaphors or the ways of understanding how this system works on a more abstract level. And on the other hand, on a more practical level, I think encouraging people to adopt as a merchant or a content creator or helping them finding ways to accept Lightning.
The gaming industry, and for also, instance.
Yeah.
And also just getting into Telegram groups and just promoting stuff like LNTX bot is getting people to adopt this stuff.
Yeah,
it's probably the way I personally
The expansion of layer 2 and layer 3 and layer 4 solutions, right?
Yeah,
that's what you're talking about, right?
Harping back on what I said, it's like we have to wiggle our way through this chicken and egg problem, and I'm probably being nudging on both sides, bugging users to get an LTX wallet or installing Breeze or something, getting content creators in order to accept Lightning on the other
end. And talking about these layers, what do you think is the most promising implementation on layer 2 on Bitcoin?
What do you mean?
Well, like async LND, C Lightning, or
a Lightning implementation.
Yeah, Lightning implementation. Yeah.
So this isn't necessarily my field or expertise, but I guess in a general sense, and I might be off already, but I think C Lightning, in the long term, I guess that's the best route. So I think for a long time LND will do very well. But on a longer term, I think C-Lightning has the better cards because it's, I guess, more flexible and easier to integrate it into bigger systems. And I think ultimately it's not going to be this lone client that does all this stuff. I think it's going to be components that's going to be integrated in larger software systems.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And talking about layer 2 solutions like Lightning, you also have Liquid. Can you explain the difference between both?
Sure. Because, okay, so Liquid is what they call a sidechain. There is this very old joke within Bitcoin that I think it's like my couch is a sidechain. because there was this discussion of how do you define a sidechain, and it just boiled down. It's like you can define anything as a sidechain. So what Liquid does is that it's UTXOs that are controlled by a federation, and you can just send money to that federation, basically the way you would normally send Bitcoin to other people, and then that federation has logic among themselves, and they run this sidechain, this blockchain, this Liquid network. And that's a separate loan thing. And then the Lightning network is similar in the sense that you're also sending money to this contract. But it's there's a network created out of these contracts, whereas with Liquid, it's not necessarily that the network is created out of these contracts. It's just that that's where the money is stored. So that would be the difference between the two. In terms of the peg, is that you can with Lightning you can send the money to your to the Lightning system, and you can then get it back because ultimately you have keys to claim your money back and close these channels. And with Liquid, you can send the money. That's fine. you just can't get it back. You have to ask permission of the federation to get your money back.
Okay. Yeah.
And this are examples of the layer two solution. And what could be a layer three or a layer four solution on the Bitcoin network? Do you have any ideas of what that, how it can look like?
So the first problem would be is like, am I a fan of this notion of layers? Currently, I'm not. Because we're borrowing what's called the OSI model, right? That's used in computing right now. Where you have a physical layer, and that's very well defined. It's better defined what they mean with it than what we currently do within Lightning, and when we're talking, or currently do with Bitcoin when we're talking about layers. What is a layer three? But if we sidestep that whole issue, I guess if the layer two is the fact that we can do payments on the Lightning network, then a layer three system would be we're gonna create organizations
on top of them,
with which we can do transactions between each other. So I guess when you implement Lightning into a game, that would be a
layer three.
An example.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So winning
like
the next
Thunder
4 years.
Games or something, gaming for money and podcasting 2.0. Yeah.
Yeah. I think podcasting 2.0 would be like an example of a layer three in that sense.
And the awesome thing is that you actually pay the creator instantly without any intermediate. So that's nice. We heard you're not running a Lightning node at the moment anymore, or is that true, or why is
correct.
That
I so when Lightning came out the reckless movement started going on mainnet, I had this mission to be one of the first 100 nodes, but it also meant that I had to learn how to run a Linux system, that type of stuff. I bought a separate workstation to do all this stuff on. And so I learned a lot in a very short time setting up that first Lightning node. I didn't make the first 100. I made the first 1,000 nodes at that time. I bought the stickers you could buy at Blockstream. Yeah. I drew a penis on Satoshi's place. I played the Game Boy game, the Pokemon game.
That
Kluck hosted. Yeah. It's funny because I mentioned it to him that I played that, and he said, like, this is the first time I actually know of somebody who actually played that.
But did you pay Satoshi? Because he said he never received any Satoshis for that one.
Yeah, that's right.
I paid Satoshi. I just did a few like it was Pokemon, and it was just the character was like stuck somewhere in a corner doing nothing. So it's like you do two moves and it's like, okay, now I did that and just move on. And after that, I eventually closed the channels, shut down the node, and have been waiting for a next step to get in, and I haven't stepped aboard yet. And I'm not sure if I'm, because I'm very conscious about this, is like, am I going to be a real, like, full-grown node, a routing node, or any sense, or am I gonna do this? If I'm going to do this, I'm gonna do it right, and otherwise I'll just get like an app on my phone with which I can use.
Was that on a Raspberry Pi or another machine?
No. It was on an old workstation that I bought at an auction.
So dedicated system only for
But because I asked this because a lot of people in our community run a node on a Raspberry Pi, and for those people, what do you think should be the time to upgrade to a more serious machine?
This is an interesting question and debate, and personally, ideally they never have to. I think that hopefully we can get into a situation where a Raspberry Pi is on its own sufficient. I think a lot of the problem is that you have to get redundancy, and it's easy. There are a lot of things you can do easy with a Raspberry Pi to make it more secure and redundant. So ideally, they never have to get rid of the Raspberry Pi. They just have to beef up the Raspberry Pi.
Well, I'm going to ask one question because we can.
I heard it. Yeah,
that's right. How do you see the future of Lightning wallets? Will everyone own a node, or will they use a custodial service?
You can take your time.
Yeah.
Yes.
You Bitcoin, can answer it in your time.
So you, if you give out responsibility, you rely on somebody else, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, right.
To do it for you. And that also means that you, they control, they have power over you if you rely on them.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to give out any control, you have to take responsibility. And Bitcoin allows you to take responsibility. Yeah. And the key word here is that it allows you to take responsibility. It doesn't force you to take, but it allows you to take responsibility.
You can choose.
And yeah. You can be your own bank. You're not forced to be your own bank. You can be your own bank. And there are going to be a lot more. So if we're going to equate running a Lightning node with being a bank, there are going to be a lot more Lightning nodes than there are banks with banking licenses currently.
Yeah.
A lot more, yeah. Right? And I guess that's my answer. And to the extent it's like how many nodes there are, ideally everybody is going to run a node.
So even your grandma, your grandpa, your...
Yes.
are running their own node.
Ideally, that's the goal, right? But it's already a lot better than the current system that we have.
Yeah. Or maybe you can run a family node and you can
sure.
give your right. sister, yeah, so your brother, your mother, your father access to it.
Yeah, and you can do it combined. Yeah, that sounds interesting. Well, more easy to have those people, the mainstream using it. Well, we had a lot of more questions, but we can't answer it now. So we would like to have you someday to come back at another show. And well, we have one question more.
Yeah. Well, because we had El Mundo. Last week we had Chino in our episode, and he had had a question for you. And Edward will play that one for you now.
Yeah, I'm going to play it, and then you can answer it. Here it comes.
If Bitcoin stopped existing from tomorrow on, do you think you would still be better off? And if so, why?
I thought about this, and the answer is no, because I've in the last more than 10 years now, I've spent so much time, money as well, right, buying the Bitcoin, but
yeah.
mostly time, a lot of time and dedication on this thing, that if it would stop to exist tomorrow, that would be a whole lot of time wasted. On the other side is like you meet a lot of people and you learn a lot of things. Sure. I would have probably met a lot of wonderful people if I would have been doing something else with my time in the past 10 years. So it's nothing bad against you guys, because I also met you guys in this journey. But there are a lot of people on this world. And I think one thing that's particular about me is that I already was interested in computer science and distributed systems. Mm-hmm. I already was interested in economics and monetary systems, and I already was interested in geopolitics and sociology and like all the components that you are involved within Bitcoin. I already was studying that, and that was exactly the reason that I got into Bitcoin, and I'm still into Bitcoin, because it's like a nexus of all these of all these topics that already interest me. So it's not necessarily that all the things I've learned in the last 10 years are because of Bitcoin. I would have probably learned most of them regardless.
Yeah. So for us, so it's more. Well, we also put a lot of time in it, but for you, it's less a problem, because you already were interested in these kind of things.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
But that's not to discount all the wonderful people that I've met
that's
along
right.
the way.
Yeah. Well, that's the same journey, I think, for us, Steph. All the people that we encounter, it's...
I think our rabbit holes are kind of the same, right? I mean, if you're entering that rabbit hole, we all become interested in the same topics.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, next time we also have an interesting guest, Lord Fusitua from the Kingdom of Tonga, the islands. And we want to ask him a question from you, Constant. Which question can we ask him?
Regarding solving the current concerns and reaching the goals that you're trying to achieve right now, that you're using Bitcoin for, my question would be, is Bitcoin alone enough?
Okay.
Interesting.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. We will ask him very soon. We have one more thing. The winner of the prize last week, it's Soul Exporter. So congrats to him. He will receive the t-shirt made by the one and only No Good. So please reach out to Joni Soul and in DM and we will finalize it for you.
Does this mean that all the guests win? I mean, is this nepotism?
Well, you can participate can also.
Yeah.
Can I expect a prize soon? Or,
we're going to see about that. It's of course amazing that you are here.
Connecter le monde.
So that's what we're talking about. Thank you, Constant, for being with us. We don't have a prize for you, but our great gratitude. And we wish you best of luck in your future projects, of course. And we hope to see you again soon.
Thanks, Constant.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
And to everybody else, thanks for listening and participating in Satoshi Radio Rings of Fire. And of course, thanks for everybody that's helping out to connect the world with us. Keep those nodes running and sets flowing and rings burning. And see you all next week on the same Lightning channel. All right, bye-bye.
See you.
Grüß Gott.